Well, good morning, church. So glad you're here this morning. I want to say a word of thanks to all of our church family that has poured into the life of Ron Slanga. He recently went home to be with the Lord, and I just want to say a huge thank you for how many of our church just received him when he first came to faith, and how we committed ourselves to him as he grew in his faith in the Lord, and how he first committed himself to the Lord and also committed himself to this church. It was quite an awesome thing to see and to be a part of. I personally lost a dear friend last week. He was a great man of God. And to see what God did in his life because he humbly submitted to him was a breath of fresh air in my life. And so I want to thank the church for being supportive to his family, his sister that came down, and his sister's sister-in-law that came with her. So continue to pray for their family as they grieve the loss of their brother. And let us pray so we can prepare our hearts for today's message. Lord, we just ask that you would have full reign in our lives today, that you would control our minds, our hearts, our desires. Lord, that whatever it is, whatever's on our mind, if it be a critical thought or something that's distracting us of what happened yesterday or what's going to happen today, Lord, I pray that you would overpower those things. Lord, I pray that we would position ourselves at the feet of the cross. And Lord, that we would invite the Holy Spirit into our hearts right now so that we can truly hear the Word of God and not just hear it, but love to obey it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In a recent article that was found in the Christianity Today magazine, it noted that some 51% of those who characterize themselves as born-again believers, evangelicals, those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ, some 51% of them said something to this effect, that they were still dealing with the consequences of bad decisions from their past. 51%. Now, if that statistic is accurate, and I would survey a crowd like this, I would say that the majority probably distinguish themselves as a born-again believer, somebody who has put their faith in Jesus Christ. That would mean, if we were real honest today, if we were real transparent, if we somehow put our church guard down, we would say the same thing, that we are currently still dealing with a bad decision that we have made in our past. Maybe a bad decision because we didn't seek God's wisdom, that we didn't seek godly counsel, that somehow we weren't willing to be patient enough to wait on the Lord, and so we went out in our own little haste, our own little human wisdom and thought, and we made a decision that still has negative consequences today. The question is, how can we navigate through this life, this journey of life as a believer in Jesus Christ, and either avoid making bad decisions that we will be affected by for our life, or not to commit bad decisions as we go forward? How is it that we as followers of Jesus Christ can keep our faith in Him, trust in His wisdom as we navigate through this life? The answer to that question is followed by another question. Who do you trust? Who do you trust? That's such an important question for us to ask and answer each and every day. Who do we trust? The reason that that question is so important is because our ability to make decisions, in large part, it is affected by the people that we trust. I mean, think about the power that a mom and dad has over a child. What you speak into that child about college, about dating, about how you do your finances, about how you should treat and love other people, in large part, is based on what you're feeding them. Either out of your own mouth or your own actions or by what they see on the TV or what they listen to on their iPhone or Android, whatever it is. In large part, young people chart the very course of their life based on the very desires that you try to put into them. And I pray that as Christian parents, we are seeing a much bigger picture than what often we are displaying to them. Something that is greater than just education. Something that is greater than just security and comfort. Something that is just greater than being financially stable. Because I think it's in the midst of not seeing the bigger picture that we often are persuaded and tempted to make bad decisions. And we give bad advice. Maybe for you, your bad decision was based off a salesman. Salesmen are good, aren't they? Remember, if somebody's trying to sell you something, they're trying to make money. So they will do anything and everything they can to persuade you. I remember when I was in college, I started a pool business, a landscaping business, and I had to have a truck, right? I was tired of borrowing my dad's Toyota pickup. I needed to buy my own truck. So I went to the dealership, and there was a Dodge Ram and a Dodge Dakota. And I know the Dodge Dakota was going to do me just fine, but there was something about that Dodge Ram. It was a little bit bigger. As a matter of fact, it was a lot bigger. It had Flowmasters on the back. It was 4x4. It was jacked up. It had the Nerf bars on the side. It was more expensive, but I didn't see the price tag. Well, I saw the price tag, but I didn't care about the price tag. I had to drive that truck. So I test drove the 4x4 first, the Dodge Ram. You know what? I never even sat foot in the Dakota. I woke up the next morning as a 20-year-old kid, just signed a document for I don't know how many thousands of dollars at 12-point-something% interest. And I looked out my window at my parents' house and said, man, I made a mistake. I was too prideful to try to take it back. And so I dealt with that truck for several years. Matter of fact, Julie and I went home after our wedding day in that truck and went to our house. And I'll never forget when we finally sold it, vacuuming out bird seed that was from our wedding when people chucked it at us. I tried to make it a blessing, but in reality, when you're 20 years old and you got a $563 payment a month on a car, it's really not a smart decision. Now, don't judge me, because if I could get in your business, I'm sure yours might be a little deeper than that. Maybe the bad advice you were given to was by a friend. Somebody that you love and allow into your life. Maybe it was your own mom or dad. Maybe a spouse influenced you to do something that at the end of the day wasn't biblically sound, wasn't wise. The reality is the one in whom you trust the most can greatly influence you in how you chart the very course of your life, not just as a young person, but even as you grow older. What you choose to believe will chart the course of your life. And in Proverbs chapter 3, we're going to continue going through the book of Proverbs. We are told this beautiful truth, to trust in the Lord. To trust in the Lord. Trusting the Lord is the key to making sound biblical decisions every single day of your life. When you don't know what to do in life, when you don't know what path to take, I can promise you that the best place you can start and finish is at the very Word of God. It is that powerful. It is that relevant. It is that trustworthy. But oftentimes in life, we don't go to the Word of God. We go to somebody else. We go to Google, Dr. MD. We go to all those places. We want a quick answer. Remember what we said last week. If you were here last week, if you weren't, I promise you, if you pick up that message, it'll bless you. The hard work of our faith is the foundation, the trusting in the Lord, trusting in what He says. The results of that is a life well lived. But the hard work is investing in the foundations. So this morning, as we continue to navigate through the book of Proverbs, our big theme is trusting in the wisdom of God. It's that important. Because when we start talking about marriage and finances and gossip and addictions and all those different things that Proverbs spells out for us, if you don't trust God's wisdom, you're going to make bad decision after bad decision after bad decision. And not only will you be a part of that 51% statistic, you will continue to grow that particular statistic. So we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And I know that most of us know these verses. So I'm asking you to let the Holy Spirit breathe new life into your mind and in your heart. Scripture says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make straight your paths. You know, when you think about these two particular verses, I don't want you to miss something that's very, very precious to us as children of God. You see, the very heartbeat, the very thrust of these verses are anchored in the very grace of God. And why is that important? If you think about it, what do these two verses tell us? It tells us this, that God has a plan for your life and it is the best plan. That's what these scriptures tell us. That's the first point in your outline. That God has a great plan for your life. It's the best plan. And I know that sounds a little corny today in 2016, that we go searching for other things to fulfill us, but at the end of the day, it always traces back to God knows what's best for you. God knows what's best. It's not just the best plan, it's the best possible life you can experience. And sometimes we tend to think that God's plan is going to require a lot of sacrifice, and I'm not going to enjoy it. Listen clearly. All of life requires sacrifice. It doesn't matter whose plan you choose, it will always, always include sacrifice. But only one will bring true, lasting joy. God's plan is the best plan for your life. Know that before and as and after you start reading God's word, that God knows what He's talking about. He loves you enough to tell you the truth. He wants to reveal His plan to you. Do you realize that? God is not sitting back, twiddling His thumb, thinking, you know what? I need to make that person suffer a little more. I need to make that person prove to me a little more before I start unwheeling myself to him or to her. God loves us enough and is gracious enough through His Word and through His Spirit that He actually wants to reveal the best for us each and every day. So that generates some questions as I read this passage, and these are the questions that we're going to address this morning. And the first question is this: how can I experience God's best for me? This isn't prosperity gospel, church. This is real life, rubber meets the road. How can I experience God's best for me? So as you look forward into the journey of your life right now, if it seems bleak, if it seems a bit cloudy, I want you to know that you can position yourself in such a way that even in those moments, in those circumstances, you can still truly experience God's best for you. So what are the practices that you and I need to incorporate in our life every day? Every day. It's daily. It's not something that happened 30 years ago or even 2 months ago. It's right now, every day. How do you position yourself in such a way that you will truly experience God's best for you? And this is what should framework how we do business, how we treat other people, how we parent, how we walk in marriage, how we do life as a church body. These are that important. What are the practices that you and I, what do we need to incorporate in our life so that you and I will truly experience God's best for us? And the first one is this: I must trust Him completely. I know it's, again, none of this is earth-shattering. You've probably heard these since you were 3 years old. Trust God, trust God. But that's what the Scripture tells us. To trust Him completely. Verse 5 in our text tells us what it means to trust God completely. And the way the Scripture does it is it does it in a positive sense, and it does it in a negative sense. The positive side is this. It's found in the first part of verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That word trust expresses the feeling of safety and security that is felt when one can rely on someone else. I mean, truly anchor your life in someone else. And the verse says, with all your heart. That word all in the Hebrew is a very interesting word. It means to trust God with your whole life, but it also means to trust God with each individual part of your life. That's the hard part, isn't it? Most of us would say, yeah, I trust God with my whole heart, with my whole life. But when you start dissecting those things in your life, there are certain things that we get very white-knuckled on, don't we? Namely, our children, our finances, our relationships. Those are off limits when it comes to God oftentimes. God says, I want your whole life. I want you to trust me in each individual aspect of your life. And then it talks about the heart. That heart, the word heart refers to the very inner being of who you are. It's everything about you. It's your emotions. It's your will. It's your mind. It's your desires. It's your intellect. It's all those things. And God's word tells us that He wants us to trust Him in all of that stuff. All the very facets of who you are. Your personality. All those things. God says, trust me. Daily, submit those things at my feet. If you want to experience God's best for you, which is His desire for you, He says, submit those things to me. When you think about your marriage, when you think about your finances, when you think about the career path that you're going down, when you think about your family, or maybe it's the gift of singleness. That is a gift, by the way, if you read the scripture properly. I know sometimes in our culture, and it's been going on for thousands of years, people look at singleness as it's a curse. No, no, no. There is a gift of marriage and there is a gift of singleness. And maybe right now your season where God has you is in the gift of singleness. And so when you think about your life right now, are you trusting God with that part of your life? Are you resting in what He wants in your life right now for you? When you get down to the each and every part of your life, it gets real personal, doesn't it? You know what you see when you look in the mirror. You know what you see when you look at your checkbook or your bank account. Have you realized that you have absolutely no privacy when it comes to God? Now, that might be a little discouraging for some of us, but it's a very freeing thing when you realize who you are in Christ. That you have no privacy. God knows it all. And He wants you to submit to Him. Why? Because He loves you. And He knows what's best for you. Are there times in your life when you find it easier to trust in God and other times when it's not? You know, here's what I've realized in my life. When I feel like I'm trusting God more, it really means a lot of times that I'm really trusting in my own abilities more. When life seems to be easy and flowing, I'm not really thinking about the Lord too much. I'm thinking about, oh yeah, I got this. I got the degree. I can handle this. I've done this before. I've counseled that person before. I know exactly what I need to do. The reality is we have to distinguish between are we trusting in ourselves and our own ability, or are we truly trusting completely in God's wisdom over us? So that's the positive side. And then there's a negative side to it. At the second part of verse 5, it says, and do not lean on your own understanding. So first it says to trust the Lord with all your heart. Positive. Then it says on a negative side, don't lean on your own understanding. Don't lean on your own wisdom. Don't lean on your own discernment. We talked about that last week. Why? Because we don't naturally have it. We don't have God's wisdom in our life naturally. Therefore, we have to pursue it. It's a lifelong pursuit. We have to submit to it. We have to surrender to it. We have to pray for it. We have to seek it in the Word of God. We don't naturally have it. That word lean means to rest your weight on something. We are to rest our weight on God and not on ourselves. And that's one of the tensions that we face each and every day as Christians. We think that we know better than God. I know we're not that arrogant in here. But that arrogance is out there. I know. We know better than God. We know how to do it on our own. We persist in doing things on our own. How do I know that? Look at our kids. We're just grown-up versions of them. In many ways, that's all we are. We're grown-up versions of them. So before we start pointing at them, we need to start looking at ourselves. We think we know better. How many times in your life have you felt that your way was better than God's way? All of us are guilty of that. How many of us think that we know better? especially when things aren't so clear in life, when it's a little gray, sometimes charcoal gray, you know, you don't know what's going on. We think we know better. We want to move quicker. We want to push harder. We want to go faster. Oftentimes, we don't see the full picture. We don't grasp all perspective. We just see the here and now, what we want now. And in those moments, you and I desire the same thing. We desire control. We desire control. Let me encourage you with this truth. When you don't have all the answers, you can still trust Him. When you don't have all the answers, when you don't know how you're going to get from A to Z, when you don't know how you're going to be able to work out something, maybe it's a confrontation or a disagreement or an issue with finances or an issue in a relationship, or maybe it's a temptation that you struggle with day in and day out, and for whatever the reason is, you rarely have victory over that temptation. Let me encourage you that you don't have to have all the answers. You can still trust in Him. You can trust that He is still a good Father, that He will provide for you what you need in that situation. Do you really trust God with every aspect of your life? All of us have areas where that trust needs to be relinquished over to Him. Think about what keeps you up at night. Think about what makes you anxious. Think about what causes great stress in your life. Whatever that stuff is, the trusting aspect of life, the faith aspect of life, is the practical outworking of our faith in Him. Meaning, God, I trust You. I trust You. Think about what that word Lord means. You look in the scripture, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Lord, Yahweh, covenant-keeping God. He is the covenant-keeping God. That means every promise that He has made, He will fulfill. It is a yes. It is real. And here's what I've realized in my life, and I pray that you realize in your life as you journey through the Christian life. When all of our small puddles begin to dry up in our abilities, those things begin to dry up, you know what comes? The vast ocean of God's wisdom in our life. That's what happens. But for so many of us, we try to keep the puddles wet. God's putting things in your life. He's allowing things in your life so that all the puddles get dried up, so that you have one option and one option only. And that is to enjoy the vast ocean of God's wisdom for your life. I want everybody to have a little audience participation right now. We're not doing calisthenics. We're not doing yoga, so don't get scary. Take a deep breath. And out of your mouth, say, I can trust God. When's the last time you said that? That was a little bit coerced and forced, graciously. But truly, when is the last time you took a deep breath and in childlike faith said, I can trust God. I can trust God. Whatever you're anxious about, whatever you're afraid of, whatever has you all stressed out, whatever you're in the middle of, whatever is occupying your mind right now as I speak, you can trust God with that situation. When you don't know what to do with your life, we must turn to God and trust what His wisdom says. Why is this a big deal? I mean, we ask ourselves all the time, why is it important to know the Word of God, to read the Word of God, to believe and obey the Word of God? This is the reason why it's a big deal. Because your willingness to trust Him completely will affect your faithfulness to follow Him. And that's our second point. If you want to experience God's best for you in this life, you must follow Him faithfully. And your level of trust in Him determines your willingness to faithfully follow Him. In verse 6, the scripture says, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. That word acknowledge means to know, and it doesn't simply mean to know about something or someone. It means to know relationally and experientially. In all your ways, The Scripture says, know Him relationally. Know Him experientially, by experience, how you've experienced your life and the very presence of His life inside of you, and how He's worked outside of you. Know those things. Scripture's talking about a personal relationship with Jesus. The way the Message translates this verse, it says, God's voice, listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. Think about that for a minute. At any moment, we are listening to something. I mean, sometimes we put beats and all that stuff on our head. We listen to our Bluetooth in our ear and all those things. But even when we take those things out, we're listening to something. And the Scripture says, everywhere you go, in everything you do, listen for God's voice. He says, don't lean on your own understanding. In everything you do, pursue me relationally and experientially. Trust me. Follow me. Everywhere you go and everything you do, give God the prime real estate in your life. Something or someone is always trying to buy up the real estate in your mind and in your heart. And the Scripture says, give it to God. Give Him prime real estate in your life. You see, the life of a Christ follower is so much more than just Sunday morning. Do you realize that? It's so much more than what we do on Sunday morning. We can't inoculate ourselves with the things of the world 95% of the week and then somehow come in here the other 5% and expect that to somehow redeem the curse in our life. Doesn't work that way. There are no shortcuts when it comes to knowing God. You cannot put your relationship with God in a Sunday morning only box. You can't do it. And expect Monday through Saturday to have different outcomes. To expect Monday through Saturday for God to speak into our lives, to speak wisdom into our lives, and not just wisdom for intellect purposes, but wisdom for life. And how we handle finances, and how we handle disagreement and conflict, how we handle our own temptations and our own sin in our life. We can't expect Sunday morning to be the fill. It doesn't work that way. It's every day allowing God to pour in us. Do you know that God's a good Father? Do you know that God wants to reveal His best for you right now? Even if you can't see it, believe it. Trust it. Faithfully follow Him. That leads us to our second big question today, and that is this. What happens in your life when you trust and follow Him? What's the payoff? What's the reward? I mean, that's how we live life. You ask your child to do something, they want to know what they're getting in return, right? Well, by the grace of God, not only does He give us life practices to follow, trusting and following, He gives us a promise that's associated with that, essentially a reward. The promise is found in verse 6 on the second part, and it Scripture says what? He will. Not He might. This verse takes on a whole new meaning if the Scripture were to say, and He might make your straight your path. He might. It's not what the Scripture says. The Scripture says what? He will. He will. It's a promise from God. Even when it is dark, even when there is a Red Sea in front of you and the Egyptian army behind you and all you know what's going to break loose in your life right now, He says what? I will make straight your path. Why? Again, He's a covenant-keeping God. That phrase, make straight your paths, carries the idea of clearing the path. Clearing the path. Now, don't misunderstand me. When the Scripture says clearing the path, that doesn't mean He will direct your paths away from trials and suffering. That's not what that means. It doesn't mean that He's going to direct your paths around and away from inconveniences and unpleasant, unhappy circumstances. That's not what that means. It's in the midst of those difficult journeys of life, those unhappy circumstances, whereby trusting in Him and following Him, we actually see Him work. and making those paths straight? How will God clear the path in your life? He will lead you. That's the first thing He will do. He will lead you. It's the promise of divine guidance. We know from Scripture that God leads us. How do we know? He led Abraham. Abraham, I want you to leave everything. Pick up. Take your wife with you. You're about to move. I'm not going to tell you where you're going. I'm not going to tell you how long you're going to be there, but I promise you it's going to be worth it. The same God speaks to the Israelites, brings them out of Egypt. He led Nehemiah in the restoration of the walls in Jerusalem. He led the disciples to be His witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Those stories, those real life stories that are found in Scripture are not for us just to meditate on the person and the people that were involved. It's to apply those same truths to our lives. That God will lead us in our journey in 2016. Right now, He will lead our life. We are called to place the whole weight of our troubles, the whole weight of our worries, the whole weight of our cares and desires upon Him. And we can rest assured wholeheartedly that God will lead us and direct us. This is not passive leading, by the way. It's not, well, I'm just going to let go and let God. That's not scriptural. Faith is active. Faith is an active pursuit. Faith is actively resting on God and searching Him out through Scripture and through prayer and through the Spirit's revelation to you. It is an active faith. Sometimes there will seem to be insurmountable obstacles in your way. Anybody there right now today? Anybody? It may seem that those obstacles cannot be moved. And we will begin to doubt that God has the power, the authority, and the very ability and the very love to make our path straight. Listen. He calls you to trust Him. Why? Because He is a trustworthy God. There is no one greater than Him. You see, removing the obstacles is His job. It's not your job. It's His job. He will make paths straight. We may stumble along the road, and we will, where we want to grab up control and we want to do our own things. We want to be the leader. But if we truly have a heart that wants to trust Him and follow Him, He will again and again restore us into right thinking, into right living. And not only will God lead us, when you choose to trust Him and follow Him, He will provide for you. He will provide for you. It's the promise of divine intervention. So much so we think about provision as financial things and material things. But you know what? Sometimes the greatest intervention in your life or the greatest provision God can do in your life is intervention. Have you realized that? God is an intervening God. He is on pursuit each and every day. It reminds me of a story that I read about a little girl. This little girl was crippled. She was unable to walk on her own, so her only means of getting around was on crutches. And her dad had been away for a long time on a business trip. And when her dad got home and opened the door, she was sitting at the front door. Crutches were laying on the ground. And she noticed that her dad had a large present for her mom. And so the girl looks at her dad and says, "Give it to me. I want to take it to mommy." Well, the dad realized it's too heavy for her. She's not going to be able to carry it. So he tried his best to convince her that it was best that he take it to her, not her. Well, she continued and consisted and persisted in saying, "No, Daddy, I want to take the present to mommy." So finally, he reluctantly gave her the present, and then she turns and looks at him and says, "Now you carry me to mommy." Isn't that an awesome illustration about how God carries us each and every day? If you are in tune with the Spirit of God, you will see the very gifts that he lays in your hands. And he never, ever instructs us to take those gifts and do it on our own. He graciously gives the gifts to us, and then he graciously picks us up so that we would deliver those gifts everywhere they need to be. Let that truth sink in for just a moment. It's not just about removing the obstacles in your life. It's about him carrying us into and through the obstacles of our life. This is why trusting in God's wisdom is so, so important, because I know there are families in this room that are struggling. There are parent-child relationships that are struggling. There are financial situations that look quite bleak. There are health situations that aren't looking very promising. And God's word encourages us to trust in him, to carry it to him. Why? Because our pursuit of wisdom is a pursuit of him, of knowing Jesus Christ. I'm going to say this statement, and I'll clarify this statement. The statement is this: don't be consumed with just knowing God's will. Be more consumed with knowing him. Don't be just consumed with knowing God's will. Be more consumed with knowing him. That's a huge, profound statement. I know the struggle. I just want to know what God wants me to do. I want to know what God's will is. When we get overwhelmed with that, we get stressed out about it. We get anxious about it. We get discouraged about it because we don't think we know it. Listen, the more you know him, the more you'll know his will for you. We try to do it backwards. We try to get the game plan and then go to him. The Lord says, you come to me, I'll give you the game plan. And I will not only give you the game plan, but I will lead you and provide for you throughout that game plan. Why is it important? Why is it important to know him? To really know him? This is why it's important, church. Because God's will for your life will never contradict his word. It's that important. So often in our Christian lives, we are tempted to do things that are contrary to the word of God. And if we're not focused on him, knowing him, we are perfect bait for Satan. God never contradicts himself. He is not the author of confusion. Satan's main attack on you and against you is to distract you from knowing him. That's what he does. And he'll throw good stuff at you and he'll throw bad stuff at you. Why? To distract you from truly knowing him. And when Satan is able to distract us from spending time with Jesus, we will start to think and do things that are contrary to the very will and word of God. Listen, I have personally witnessed in my 5 short years as a pastor, grown adults destroy marriages and finances because they were pursuing something that was contrary to the word of God, but in their mind, they felt like it was what God wanted for them. It happens. It happens all the time. It may be happening right now in this room. Your lifelong pursuit is to know him purely and authentically, and let him know you in the same manner. He knows you. He wants you to submit to him. Listen to this quote by Clyde Cranford. He says, many questions we have concerning God's will are answered for us clearly in his word. Then we need to look no further. God will never contradict through any other means what he has already revealed. Therefore, it is incumbent upon us to know his word. If you believe God is telling you to do something that contradicts his own word, you've believed a lie. You have believed a lie. When you find yourself contemplating divorce in your marriage and you're convinced that God wants you to be happy instead of holy, you have believed a lie. Don't believe the lies. When God has spoken, there is no greater counsel that you can receive than His. Proverbs 21, verse 30 says, "No wisdom, no understanding, no counsel can avail against the Lord." There is no counselor greater than God's Word. Listen, if God has already in His Word clearly spoken on an issue, you don't need a pastor's advice. You don't need your mama's advice. You don't need a friend's advice. And you don't need Dear Abby's advice. That's for the older crowd. If God has clearly spoken, that is the greatest counselor you will ever have. Verse 28, verse 9 says this, "If one turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination." This tells us something quite interesting about our prayer life. If we're asking God to provide something or to approve something that's contrary to His Word, the Scripture says He is not even going to hear it. How many of us spend hours and hours and hours of asking God to bless a relationship that is not biblical? Or to bless a business that is not ethical? Or to bless our lives and our families when there are things that are clearly in our lives and in our families that are not biblical? Things that we know, not things that we don't know, but things that we clearly know. And we're asking God and praying to God to do something. And He says, listen, if my people choose to not listen to my word, I won't listen to their prayers. When you say something like, "I know what the Bible says, but," you're going down the wrong path. 10 times out of 10, the end of that road is a road of destruction. And the Scripture tells us, when you say, "I know what God's word says, but," you're not trusting in the wisdom of God. When that is the pattern of your life, if your pattern in life as a Christian is, "I know what God's word says, but my situation's a little bit different," or "God understands," or "God has already approved it, He's already made it happen, He's already proved to me that this is right," God's word gives us a very powerful warning in Proverbs 29, verse 1. The Scripture says, "He who is often reproved yet stiffens his neck will suddenly be broken beyond healing." When you choose to step past what God's word says, when you choose to step past what godly counsel says, when you choose to step past clear boundaries that are set in God's word, the Scripture says you're going to suffer the negative consequences for those things. And sometimes it might be lifelong. Ultimately, the greatest negative consequence of not trusting in the Lord is an eternal consequence. Remember, pursuing wisdom is about pursuing a person named Jesus Christ. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, your end road of destruction has eternal consequences. But here's what I do know. As you trust in God's wisdom, you will know who He is, and you will discover that His plan for your life is always best. It doesn't matter what the potholes are, it doesn't matter what the circumstances are, you will always know that His will is best. As the praise team comes up, we'll close with some thoughts that I want you to think through, and maybe this will spark some response during our invitation. How do you know if you're trusting in God? How do you know if you're faithfully following God's wisdom? I want you to think about these questions. Just think through them for yourself, not somebody else. Are you obeying what you already know in Scripture? Again, not what you don't know, but what you already know. Are you obeying those things? How are you loving people? Are you loving people well? That's an indication if you're trusting in God's wisdom, because the scripture says, love your enemies. Are you winning the battle with temptation? Not 100%, but are you actually victorious over temptation in your life? God's word says that he will always give you a way out. He will always give what you need. Are you honoring God with your resources? The spiritual gift that he has given you, the resources that he's given you, the material possessions that he's given you, are you honoring him with those things? Are you actually maturing as a Christ follower? Is there maturity happening in your life? Those are some questions that indicate a person who is trusting and following the Lord. Why? Because the promise is he will make straight your paths. So I'm going to ask you guys to stand and sing to our Lord Jesus, and I want to invite you. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you to come forward. All you have to do is say, I need Jesus. I want to know more about Jesus. I'll pray for you. We'll counsel with you. If you're here and you're a believer and you've realized that you haven't been trusting in God, you haven't been faithfully following with him, not with the whole life, but just that individual part, and you want to ask God to move in your heart, move in your mind, move in your soul, so that he will show you the desires of his own heart, and you need to spend time with the Lord, I encourage you to do it where you're standing, or you can come forward to the altar and pray. Maybe take someone with you and pray. Listen, we will not handle the difficult situations in our life if we don't trust in the wisdom of God. That is the invitation. Let us sing.